Great service in Sunday school hour. Let's look to the Lord to give us good services each service and this time as well. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll bless in this service. We ask you, Lord, to give exactly what's needed. We thank you, God, for the promise that you're with us. And Lord, that you do have a definite will and that you will direct our path. In Christ's name, we look for you to do great things. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and let's stand together, please, out of respect for the Lord. Well, we're going to have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, a shorter week than some other times that we've been here, but I'm looking forward to it and trust you are too. And if you're able to make it, how many feel like it's going to work pretty well for you to get out Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, at least Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday? Okay, good. How many feel like it's working pretty good for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? All three, it looks pretty good. Okay, how many feel like you can't come at all because you have to work or something? Quit your job, Joe. Quit your job. Okay? But do hope that you will be here as much as you can. And if you do get off at 7 o'clock, just come anyway and be here and see what God will do in your life, okay? We're looking forward to what God's going to do. All right, take your Bibles and let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 4. I'd like to read one verse this morning as our text, 1 John chapter 4. And verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Again, we love him because he first loved us. Thank you. You may be seated. It seems to me like the ugliest guys always get the prettiest girls. Now, I never liked that very much until it worked out for me. And I ended up marrying a babe. Now, we've all seen the mismatches where there's the guy who is 6'4" and a string bean, and he's dating a 4-foot-high girl, and she's 4-foot-wide, too. Now, we've seen some people, and we wonder how they ever got together. When I was in high school, there was one that a lot of us looked at. One was Rick Lalamandir. He was bow-legged. He walked like he'd been riding a horse too long. And his girlfriend, Lori, was pigeon-toed. She knocked her knees together. And so one day, my youth pastor said, have you ever looked at Rick and Lori when they walk down the hall? His legs are shaped in an O and hers are shaped in an X. And when they walk down the hall together, they spell ox. Now, they ended up getting married. I don't know what their kids spelled. But anyway, mismatches are comical. But the greatest mismatch that we're ever going to hear of in all of our lives is that God loves us. God is holy, God is perfect, and God is good in every way, but we are not always that holy or good or that loving. But in spite of the differences between God and man, God chooses to love us. We love him because he first loved us. But I don't have any question today about whether God loves us, but what I do question sometimes is, do I stay in love with God or do we stay in love with God like we should? The Bible teaches that we should love God with all of our heart. The Bible says this is the first and great commandment, loving God, not just doing things. I was reading in the book of Micah not too long ago, and it talked about how they were fasting, but they were just doing it out of ritual. Talked about Zechariah, how they were doing, giving gifts and all to God, but they weren't doing it from their heart. And it's so easy for us to do the same, that we get into religion without relationships. And you know, the greatest thing is that we love God. I remember as I talked to a teenager one time who everybody was praying for him to get right with God. And I said to him, are you right with God? He said, everything's cool. So then I said, well, do you love God? He says, sure, I love God. But then I said, do you love God the same way you love that girlfriend? And he said, well, we're not supposed to love God like we love a real person. And he did not realize that that is what it's the most important thing is, if we love God like he's a real person in our life, because God is a real person. So I want to ask you, how is your love relationship with the Lord this morning? Because that is the most important thing about us, is how is our love relationship with God. Now, in John 5, in verse 42, Jesus looked at some people and said, I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Now, when Christ looks at you, what he say? I know you, that you have the love of God in you. Or would he say, I know you, that your love is dying a little bit. Or what do you say? I know you. You have not the love of God in you. And he said that the greatest commandment is that we would love him. Now, have you ever seen a herd of girls standing around talking about boys? I say a herd of girls because girls never go anywhere by themselves. If they go to the bathroom, they all go together. Well, a herd of girls standing around talking about boys, and the girl said, I think he likes me. Why? He's always looking at me. The girl doesn't know he's cross-eyed and is looking at somebody else. Now, sometimes we guess if somebody loves us, but God doesn't guess if we love him. The Bible says God tests us to see if we are staying in love with him. It says in Deuteronomy 13:3, the Lord your God proveth you to see whether you love the Lord your God. Now, the first test that God gives to see if we're still in love with him or if we're falling out of love with him, he looks at our social life. 1 John 4:20, if any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Now, there are a lot of people that will want to give the appearance that they're close to God, walking with God, giants in the faith, dedicated to God, totally sold out Christians, and man, they're right there with God all the way. But the fact is, though they say they're right there with God all the way, there's bickering, there's fighting, there's complaining, there's hate, there's talking about people, and there's just not love. Now, if you're somebody who is saying that you love God, but you don't even love somebody who is a child of God, and you have a wall up between you and somebody who is a child of God, and there's not a demonstration of love toward the people of God, then God is saying that you don't love me right now like you should. Because if you loved me, you would naturally love the children of God. Now, I'm shocked sometimes when I see how unloving people are toward other people. I remember seeing not too long ago how some people were taking advantage of a homeless person. We see how people treat other people, and it's quite shocking. There was a woman, Kitty Genovese, who was shot, who was attacked, and finally killed in Queens, New York. And she was attacked, and three different times the guy attacked her, left, came back and attacked her again, and came back and finally killed her. And they asked, the police asked, did anybody see the attack? And they found that 30-some people had seen the attack, but not one person was willing to help. There was a man who was shot in Texas, and people went by for over half an hour, and nobody stopped. Finally, somebody stopped. And as I read about all of this and how unloving people are toward each other, it's kind of a shock sometimes. But what is shocking is when we are believers and we're supposed to be filled with the love of Christ and we're supposed to have love for Christ and we can't even work out our differences between us. And God says, one of the tests that I give you to see if you're in love with me still like you used to be or like you need to be is if you love each other. If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. So evaluate if there have been some feuds, some fights. Evaluate if you've gotten to where you have put up a wall towards somebody you used to have a relationship with, and God will give that as an indicator to you that you really need to improve your relationship with God, or you would naturally love that other person more. Now, John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one toward another. Now, how does this work? Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Now then, if we are filled with the Spirit, connected to the Spirit, the natural outpouring of that is we're going to have what? Love, joy, and peace. Now, if we're not getting along with each other and there's any feuding, it's an indicator that we've gotten away from Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, who's God the Father, and consequently, we are not full of love like we once were because we're not filled with the Spirit or close to Jesus like we once were. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And if there's not love, not joy, not peace, then there's not the filling of the Spirit or the closeness with the Spirit. Now, if you feel yourself becoming hard, you see it yourself, then you have to evaluate, am I still close to Jesus or am I just pretending to be? Now, the first test that Jesus gives to see if we love him is if we love each other. Now, a lot of people say they're right with God, but they don't love people. Then God says, you've not stayed in love with me. You need to get back in love with me. Now, the second test that God gives is our service. All right, let's look at John 21 as a reminder. John 21, if we love him, we're going to be busy serving him. Now, there are people that don't serve God with the same zeal that they used to serve God. And they say, well, I'm just as much in love with God now as I ever was. I'm just doing fine. But then you find in churches, you've got less people coming to church on Sunday night than ever before. You've got few people coming on Wednesdays. And people say, well, don't judge my Christianity by how often I go to church. Don't judge my Christianity by how busy I am serving God. Being busy does not equate with having a relationship with God. Serving doesn't mean you've got a relationship with God. Going to church doesn't mean that you're close to God or have a close walk with God. But it is true, though, on the other hand, if I have a close walk with God and I love God, the natural thing is I'm going to be serving him with the zeal I have always served him with. Now, John 21, 15 through 17, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He's looking at the fish. Now, Peter used to be a fisherman. So what did he do before he was a fisherman? Before he was a disciple, he fished. He went after fish. And so after Jesus was crucified and he rose from the dead, then he goes to see Peter and all the disciples, and they're fishing, and Jesus prepares fish for them, and notice what he says to him. Peter, do you still love me more than you love the things that you did before you met me? I believe that's what he's saying. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. So he says, do you love me? Yes. Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. And what he's saying is, Peter, you were following me. You were serving me. But you've gone back to the things that had your attention before. Come back, and if you love me, let's get back to service for me. Now, is there anything wrong with a fish? No. Is there anything wrong with a job? No. That was his job. Fish to eat. Nothing wrong with that, especially if you enjoy eating fish. There's nothing wrong with that. God gave it to you for your sustenance. God gave it to you for your enjoyment. But when we get saved, we get called to serve, but then sometimes we go back to what we did before we were ever called. And when you go back to what you were doing before you got saved, even if it's not bad, to the expense of your dedication to serving God, then it's an evidence that you've walked away from your love for God. Now, here's what I'm asking you. Have you gone back to just pursue material things? Have you gone back to being more comfortable? People are saying, well, I just don't want to be bothered with Sunday night. Let's not overdo it. I don't want to be overdoing it. Well, one of the evidences that a person has lost their love for the Lord is that they fall away from serving the Lord. Now, I am married. I love my wife. And one of the joys I have of being married is doing things for my wife. My wife had a terrible sickness. It was called morning sickness. And when she had morning sickness, anything that she would see that was dirty would make her sick. So I can remember actually saying to her, honey, you lie down, I'll do the dishes. And I hate doing dishes, but I did the dishes and I actually would enjoy it when I knew I was doing it to help the one that I love. My wife likes a clean car, and because I love my wife, I'll sweep out the car at least once a year. Now, when you love somebody, you serve them. What do you do to serve God? You say, well, I put my time in before. I've got to cut back. I've got things that I want to do. You just check up and see if you're falling out of the love of God, is what I'm saying. Now, one of the tests is if you love God, you're going to love the people of God. It's a natural thing. The fruit of the Spirit will be love. And if there's not love, then you probably are not as close to God and filled with the Spirit as you once were. There will be service. And if you find that you're not going to church like you used to, it doesn't mean that God hates you, but it does mean you should ask yourself, am I really in love with Christ like I once was? And it's a test for you, but God also tests you. And would you fail the test? All right, number three, if you say that you love God, he says, here's a third test, stay out of sin. Now, Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. Now, there are people that will say, I love God as much as anybody else loves God, as they continue to do a life of sin. Now, if you do a life of sin, it does not mean God does not love you. How do I know that it doesn't change if God loves you? Because it says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So since he loved us when we were sinners, he's not going to stop loving us when we do sin. But the question is not, does God love me? The question is, do I love God? And I'll guarantee you, there are some of you probably here today that are living in sin, and people talk to you about your life, and you say, no, I love God just like I ever have. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. God says, if you love him, you're going to hate sin. Now, I was in Brooklyn, New York, and a man jumped up from behind a bush, and I grabbed my wallet. I thought he was going to try to mug me. But then I sized him up, and I realized that I could probably take him. So I thought I would witness to him. So I go up to witness to him, and as I begin to witness to him, he goes, oh, you're a Christian, huh? Yes. He said, well, I'm a Christian too. And his breath was reeking with alcohol. And so he said, would you sing How Great Thou Art? So we sang How Great Thou Art. And then he said, looky here. And he pulls out his wallet, and in the top corner he had a picture of Jesus. And then he said, look here, and he showed me a cross that he had. And we began to sing hymns, and we talked about Jesus, and I took him in my car, and we sang some more hymns. But the whole time, he was saying, I love God, but he had a bottle of booze, and he had the cigarettes. Now, how many of you are convinced that he was deeply in love with God? If you are convinced, I'm telling you, he was not. Because you cannot love God and continue doing the things that hurt God. Now, the test of our lives, our love for the Lord, is if we love each other, if we stay out of sin, and if we stay serving him. Those are some ways that you can tell if you've fallen away from God's love. Now, what we do, we don't want to do it, of course, just because we're supposed to. We do what we do because of love. If we serve God, if we're in church all the time, if we live by certain standards, that, of course, doesn't mean that we love God. We could do all those things superficially. We could do all those things out of ritual. But we also know that if we're not doing these things, it's a good indicator that we've not stayed in love like we need to. All right, now, first of all, we have the dearth or the lack of love. Now, secondly, let's look at this idea of the desire to love. Why should we love him? 1 John 4:19. We love him, why? Because he first, what? Loved us. Now, there are lots of reasons that you love somebody. You can say, I love that person just because they're nice to me. Or, I love that person, I like the way they care. I've heard fourth grade girls say, I love that guy because he's tall, dark, and handsome. Have you ever seen a tall, dark, handsome sixth grader? Not unless he's been in sixth grade for about 4 years. But there are certain things that draw us to love somebody. You say they're just kind, they're just compassionate, they're just friendly, and I just love everything about them. Now, what drew me to love my wife? In 1986, I saw my wife through the eyes of love. I saw her walk across the stage in the revival meeting, and she was beautiful to me. My heart went ba-boom. Who is that? Now, that did not make me love her. That got me interested in her. But then I had to get to know her. I found out that she was a genuine good Christian. I talked to her about somebody burning and going to hell, and she got tears in her eyes, and I thought, I like that, genuine. I like the way that she went up to her dad and she said, Daddy, instead of Dad. I just thought that was sweet for a college girl. And I like the way she put her arms around her dad and said, Daddy, I love you. I thought shows affection. I like that. Then I married her, and I thought I loved her before, but the longer you're married, the more you grow into your love. I found out that she will listen to me. Isn't it nice that somebody will listen to you? She'll laugh at my jokes sometimes. She forgives me when I let her down. On more than one occasion, I've let her down, but she turns around and forgives me. She makes sacrifices for me. Usually, when I'm in a revival meeting, I'll give her an allowance, and she would turn around and she would spend it on me. One time I got a big offering, so I gave her $50. She bought me a sport coat. I'm thinking about giving her $100 this week. But now we've got kids, and she keeps giving it to the kids now instead of me. I hate those kids. But anyway, there are reasons that you love somebody. She supports me. A lot of times I'll feel like I can't do something, and she'll support me and build me up. And that is one of the reasons that I love her. Now, many of the reasons that we love people, we have the same reasons that we could love God. Now, we talk about the reasons to love the Lord, and we think, well, he died on the cross. Yes, but there's so much more. Now, why do I love my wife? Because she knows me. She knows my likes and my dislikes. Why do we know God? He knows us. 1 Corinthians 3, if any man love God, the same is known of him. He'll listen to us. Psalm 116, 15. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. I love the Lord because he is faithful to me. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? No. Distress? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. Height? No. Death? depth, no, life or death. And the Bible says nothing will separate us from the love of God, not even our sin. Now, there was a girl that I liked years ago. Her name was Brenda. I passed her a note. I said, I like you. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe. Check one, pass it back. And she checked yes. So I passed her another note, and I said, do you want to go steady? Yes, no, maybe. Check one, pass it back. She checked yes. And we were going steady. Best day of my life. But I never sat by her. I never played with her at recess. I never spent any time with her. My whole relationship was just saying that I love Brenda. I would show her picture to the guys. She would show my picture to the girls, which I got by asking a girl, will you get her picture for me? And she got mine by asking a girl, will you get his picture for me? And our relationship was very, very shallow. And I'm thinking that a lot of Christians' relationships with Jesus are just about as deep. They'll say that they love God, but they never spend any time with him. They say that they love God, but they don't even go to church more than once a Sunday morning. And it's not that they can't, it's that they just don't want to. And all of these things make me wonder about the depth of somebody's love. Now, I'm not trying to just throw a guilt trip on us, but we are told to love the Lord, not just do some ritual. Now, the other part of my relationship with Brenda would be I would daydream about her. I would be laying on my bed at night, and I would daydream before I would go to bed that I was playing together with Brenda at recess time. I don't know why. We never did in real life, but that's what I would daydream. And when I'm daydreaming, in my little dream, a big villain would come in and would try to beat her up. Well, I would stand in front of the villain, and I would protect her. And you know how those things go. Any of you men ever dreamed that way? I know you did, you liars. But anyway, I would be dreaming, and this big villain would try to beat her up. And so I would step in front of her, and I would protect her. And when I was trying to protect her, he would pull out a knife, and he would stab me in the shoulder. I didn't want to die. I just wanted to get hurt. It would make me look tough. Or maybe he'd pull out a gun, and he'd shoot me in the shoulder. I didn't want to die. I just wanted to look tough. And then I would fight, I would knock him out, and they'd take him off to the jail, and they'd take me off to the hospital. Now, I would be bandaged from head to toe. I don't know why. It was just a pocket knife cut on my forehead, but it made me look tough to be bandaged from head to toe. The only thing you could see would be my eyeballs. And I'd be laying there in the room, in pain, thinking about Brenda, and then Brenda would finally walk into the room, and it'd be just me and Brenda. I'd turn my head, and I'd go, "You okay, baby?" And she'd look at me and go, "What a man." Because I saved her from a daydream villain with a daydream heroic act and from a daydream disaster. And it was all a little daydream. But you know, a lot of people live like what Jesus did on the cross was just a daydream. And that's why some of you probably aren't as dedicated to God as you should be. Because you don't see it as a real thing. Now, today's date is the date 2015 AD, which means after death. After whose death? Christ's death. So Jesus literally died. He did not save us with a daydream heroic act. He literally died. The whole calendar system is based on the fact he was here. He literally died. Now, when they crucified Christ, they scourged him with the cat of nine tails. It's the handle with nine leather strips with pieces of sharp rock, bone, and metal. They'd tie a man spread eagle in the air through four rings. After he was tied, the soldier would take the whip, pull it back, and with a mighty arm, lash it across his back, and when he did, he would snap it. When he would snap it, the leather would sink into the flesh. They would jerk off the back, the flesh, and they would take off nine strands this way, then each lash, 13 times 9, 117 pieces of flesh torn off in that direction. Then they would beat a man 13 times from the other side and pull it back this way, 13 times 9, 117 stripes of flesh ripped off this way. Then they would go straight down the middle and they'd sink it in and they'd tear it 117 stripes down that way. And that was only if it was limited to 39 stripes. Now, Christ did not save you with a daydream heroic act. He literally died. The Bible says they plaited a crown of thorns and they placed it about his head. They're literal thorns. You go to Israel, you can find the thorns are up to 6 inches long. They placed that together in a crown shape, put that on his head, and they smote him on the head with the reed, and they drove it right down into his skull. That was not daydream. That was literal. We have a replica of the crown of thorns at home, and it fell off the shelf one day. And my daughter Aubrey was running, didn't know it was on the floor, put her foot on that crown of thorns, and the thorn went completely through her foot. Then it says that they clothed him with purple. How long was that on his back? We don't know, but maybe it had time to dry. And just before they crucified Christ, they reopened those wounds. They pulled his bones out of joint. Psalm 22:14, I'm poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint. And then they pierced his hands and his feet. That's the 10 to 12 inch railroad size spike nail right through the hand and right through the foot. And he was wounded, let's say it together, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our transgressions and our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, Christ did not save us from a daydream villain. He literally saved us from a devil walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you may not believe this, but if the devil wins, you lose. And if the devil wins, you end up in hell. And if the devil wins as a Christian, you end up with a destroyed life. And Jesus is come to deliver you from the devil. It's not a daydream devil. It's a real devil walking about whom he may devour. And then it's not a daydream disaster he saves you from. It's a literal hell. It says Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all that forget God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you don't come to him, you do perish. Hell is a place. It has fire. Luke 16:24, I am tormented in the flame. It has brimstone. Revelation 19:20, these were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and it is an everlasting fire. Matthew 25:41. And if you go there, you burn and you burn and you burn and you never die. Christ came to save you from that disaster. Now, there are many reasons for us to love the Lord, and if we would just sit back and look at it, we would know there are plenty of reasons to love God more than to love sin. Love God more than to love the world. Love God more than to love ourselves even. And there are plenty of reasons why we should love God. So, do you love him like you once did? First, the test of love. Number two, the desire to love. But then, there is a decision that we make to love. Now, we love him sounds like it's a decision that we make. And choosing to love God over loving the world is a decision that we have to make. The Bible said that the psalmist chose to love God. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalms 18:1. Now, there are lots of reasons why I love my wife, but there's one that I have not told you yet. I haven't found anybody I like any better yet. Now, if you took all the women of the world and you walked them in front of my path, do you think I could find somebody that I might love? Probably. Or could enjoy getting to know? Probably. But are you, poor Becky, you say, Mike might be able to find somebody that he can enjoy getting to know. Don't worry about Becky. Do you know why? Because Mike is not looking. I made a decision till death do us part in a minute. Now, love is a choice. And if we've gotten out of the love that we need for God, it's a choice to get that love back. If we don't love each other like we should, it's a choice to choose to work out those things and not ignore those things. Love is a choice. And the Bible says, take diligent heed to love the Lord your God. It is a decision. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. It is a decision. If you will choose to accept Christ or reject Christ, that is a decision. And we have to make a decision that we're not going to let ourselves fall out of love with God. The Bible says in Jude, keep yourself in the love of God. And if you find that your love is dying down, you can do something to fix that. And you cannot let your heart get cold toward God, because when the heart goes, everything else goes. As he said, the first and great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, some of you will say, well, I'm not doing so well with the loving God thing. Well, choose to get back in love with him. Plenty of ways that you get back in love with him. Then somebody might say, well, I love God, but I just don't like those people so much anymore in the church. Well, just like you choose to love God, you choose to love people. And if you don't choose to, then you're not demonstrating that you choose to love God. Because loving God is loving the brethren. Now, when I led a man to the Lord by the name of Dave, and I gave Dave a Bible, he was a homeless man, and when Dave got saved, I gave him a Bible and said, Dave, I'm going to come back here tomorrow, and if you have any questions, I want you to write them down, and I'll try to answer them for you. So I went back the next day, hoping I would see him, that he hadn't taken off. Sure enough, Dave was there. And so I said, good to see you, Dave. Did you read the Bible I gave you last night? He said, yes, I did. So I was glad. So then I said, well, let me look at it. And I want to look at it because you can tell if a Bible's been read or not. If it's brand new, it's all tight. But if it's been read a lot, then it's really open and stuff. So I looked at it and I saw, sure enough, the pages had been open. So I was encouraged with that. So then I said, Dave, let me look at it a little more. So I'm flipping through because I told him to start in Matthew. I said, did you read in Matthew? He said, yes. And I saw he had verses underlined in Matthew. So then I go through Matthew chapter 1, verses underlined, Matthew 2, verses underlined, Matthew 3, verses underlined, Matthew 8, verses underlined, Matthew 17, verses underlined, Matthew 20-something, and then I go to Mark, verses underlined, and I say, Dave, this is a new Bible. I gave it to you last night. How much did you read last night? And Dave said, I got through the book of Matthew and part of Mark. Is that good? And I said, Dave, that's great. And then Dave said, Mike, I just love this Bible. And he took his Bible and he hugged it. He said, I just love this Bible. And then he went, do you remember when it was that way with you? Amen. You can call me strange if you want, but I can remember when I got right with God as a high school student, I went home and I slept with my Bible. And I don't think there was anything wrong with that. Have you fallen out of love with God? If you did, you need to get that love relationship nurtured again. The first and great commandment is loving the Lord your God. My nephew came over when he was 2 years old, and he was looking at our family pictures, and he was looking at Aunt Robin, and he would go, rah-rah, and then he saw Aunt Becky, and he went, Becca, Becca, and then he saw Uncle Mike, and he goes, Uncle Mike, Uncle Mike. And he got more excited when he saw me. But then He went through all the family and he was saying everybody's name, and then something caught his attention in the corner of his eye. It was a Sunday school flannel graph that my mother-in-law had laid up against the counter in the kitchen. And he turned his head and he saw that, and he goes, "Jesus." And I never heard the name Jesus come out any sweeter from anybody, anywhere, anytime than out of my two-year-old nephew's mouth at that time. It just kind of made my heart melt. And you know, every time that we hear the name Jesus, it really ought to touch our heart in some way. And it ought to make our heart melt. And I wonder if we love God like we really should. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would like to ask you, how many of you would say, "Brother Mike, I may not be everything I should be, but I do know if I were to die today, I would go to heaven, and I can give you a Bible reason why I'm sure that I'm on my way to heaven." Now, if you have a Bible reason why you know that you're on your way to heaven, would you slip up your hand if you're sure of that? And if not, don't be embarrassed at all. All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, as the pianist just softly plays, I wonder if there's anybody here today who would say, "I could not raise my hand. I don't know if I were to die that I would go to heaven. But I know I don't want to go to hell, and I want help." If you see the danger that you're in, you would want help. Because the Bible says you're going to go to heaven, you will go to hell. And God doesn't want you in hell. He wants you in heaven. But also, if you look at what Christ did on that cross, and you really look at it, you cannot help but understand the depth of his love toward man. It's not a daydream heroic act. He literally died. And if you do not get to heaven, it's because you did not receive the genuine love of God offered to you. Now, who here would say, "I don't know I'm going to heaven, and I'm not too proud to admit that, but I want to know how to get to heaven through faith in Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me." If that's you, don't be embarrassed, but just slip up your hand and put it right back down, and I will see it and remember you in prayer. I won't say where you're sitting, but I'll pray for you. Is there anybody like that? "I don't know I'm going to heaven, and I'm not too proud to admit that, but I know I don't want to go to hell and I want help. Pray for me." Just slip up that hand and put it right back down. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Just slip it up. And again, I will not embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. I won't say your name. I won't even say where you're sitting. "I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to go to heaven. Pray for me." All right. I saw some of you that could not raise your hand. And I want you to consider how important this is, that you make sure that you meet Jesus and that you're on your way to heaven. Now, I wonder how many here would say, "Brother Mike, I am on my way to heaven, but I know that I'm not in love with the Lord like I once was. And I want to get myself back in love with God this week. Pray for me. I've fallen out of love. I don't have the depth of love, but I want to get back that passionate love for God." Just slip up that hand and put it right back down if God's speaking to you about that. God bless you. 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 Several across the room, God bless you there. Anybody else? All right. Now, specifically, he said, "If you love me, you'll love the brethren." So is there anyone who would say, "There is a Christian with whom I'm bitter, and I need to get that right"? Would you slip up your hand if God's speaking to you? Because you love God, you're going to get it right with that other brother. Anybody like that? Okay. If you love me, he says, serve me. Serve me. Are there any of you that would say, Brother Mike, I've not been serving God like I once did, whether it be going to church or some other way? Would you slip up your hand if you say, I'm going to love God enough that I'm going to start serving him in the area that he's speaking to me about? Anybody else like that? God bless you there. Good. I'm going to love God enough, I'm going to start serving him in the area he's speaking to me about. Anybody else? And finally, if you love him, you'll stop doing the things that hurt him. And is there anybody who would say, Brother Mike, there is some sin in my life, and I love God enough, I'm going to try to get rid of the sin that's hurting him. If that's you, would you slip up the hand? Pray for me. There's some sin in my life. I'm going to try to get rid of it because I love God enough. I'm going to try to get rid of what's hurting him. God bless you, friend. Anybody else? All right, let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we do ask you, Lord, to use the word that went forth today to help us to have a deeper love for you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would take the thought, just the thought, of do we have the love for the Lord that is truly with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might? And if it's not there, that we would make the decision to pursue why and do what's necessary to get it back. That we would not be just doing ritual, but that we'd have a relationship with you. And Lord, for any and every person that you've spoken to, whether it be the morning Sunday school hour or whether it be this service now, we just pray that you'll seal the decisions and the work in our hearts when we leave this place. And help us all, Lord, to pursue that love relationship with you. And at this invitation time, if people need to come and pray, I pray, Lord, that you'll prompt them and that they would come and pray about their love relationship with you as you speak to their hearts. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you would like to come and pray, we're going to have an invitation. You could come and you could pray at the front. You want to talk to Pastor about anything, he's available as well. As Greg sings, we invite you to come. If you don't know you're saved, we sure would like to help you. And if you're near somebody who's not saved and you want to talk to them about it, maybe you could bring them to be saved as well. Pastor.
All right, let's close in a word of prayer today. If this is your heart's desire, as in my heart's desire, join me in this prayer as I pray to the Lord. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect, righteous one, the Holy One of Israel, the one who loved me while I was yet sinner, died on the cross for me. I ask that you would strengthen me inwardly in my spirit, in my heart. I would know how much Jesus Christ loves me. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. To be filled with the divine fullness of God. I ask you to fill my heart, Lord, with your heart's desire. I ask you to fill my mind with your thoughts, what you want me to think, relating everything to you, Lord, in life. I pray that you'd use my body as an instrument of your righteousness. I confess my utter weakness to do these things myself. I depend on your Spirit to remove the lusts that rise up in my heart that are contrary to the love of God. I ask you to give me a greater love for you, Father, and a greater love for those who have trusted your Son. Not only that the people in the house of God would see the love of God in me, but out in the world, that be a fragrance of Christ that will be such an attraction that you'd be glorified in my life. Please use me for your glory, Lord, and this body of believers here. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, all God's people say, amen.